السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر، قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over the receivers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala send the Holy Quran Sharif for our guidance. It is our yaqeen, our iman, our belief that whatever is in the Quran Sharif is the truth and nothing but the truth. In fact, we would not have been here in this masjid for Salatul Jumu'ah if we had not believed in the Quran Sharif of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings. So in this ayat which I have just recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses those who are going to go into Jahannam, or those people who will be going into the fire of hell. They have been dispatched, or they are about to be dispatched, but they will be given an opportunity. The believers will be given an opportunity. I'm just giving you the meaning and a brief explanation, that those who are the believers, those whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give the book of deeds in their right hands, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them an opportunity to question those who are going into the fire of Jahannam, and especially the disbelievers, that what is it that led you to the fire of Jahannam? Now, as believers in Allah Ta'ala, we believe that there is such a thing as Jannat, there is such a thing as Jahannam. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni, na maane to mar ke dekh. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni, na maane to kar ke dekh. Jannat bhi hai, dozakh bhi hai, na maane to mar ke dekh. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni, na maane to karke dekh. You will get exactly what you reap. What you sow, so what so is what you will reap. What amal you will do, what actions you will do, you will get reward for it. If there are good actions, you will get good rewards, and if there are evil actions, then you will be paid back in the same currency. And we all are experiencing this in our lives. So he says that whatever you are going to do, that is what you will have to reap. There is Jannat too, there is Jahannam too. And if you don't believe in it, then die and then see. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give an opportunity to those people who will be given their book of deeds in their right hands, the Jannatis, or when they are put into Jannat, then they will question the disbelievers, or question those who have gone into Jahannam, that what is it that took you to Jahannam? Now we have to reflect, we have to ponder, we have to think very carefully, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us four sifats of those people who are going to go to Jahannam. That what is it that took them to the fire of hell? And whatever is going to take them to the fire of hell in the akhirat, then if the believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have to indulge in those sins, although they might not do it very openly, they might not proclaim it very openly, but if their actions show that they are also following the footprints of those who are disbelievers in Jannat and Jahannam on the day of judgment, then Allah Ta'ala will give them that same Jahannam in this world. Their lives will also be the lives of those people who are in hellfire, because their actions are same. So Allah Ta'ala says that when they are going to be questioned, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ There's no time to go into detailed tafsir. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What is it that took you to the fire of Jahannam? What is it that led you to this fire? So what do they say? لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ The first thing is that we never used to make namaz. We never used to make our salah. Besides all the other things, the first thing that is mentioned here, or which they consider now, was a major problem in their lives, that they did not make salah. Those who are going to go to Jahannam, the believers, disbelievers, the disbelievers will remain there forever, of course, but after that the believers will be taken out after some punishment. But the thing that will take them there, he says, that we were not making our salah. Now the ummah at large, we celebrate Mi'raj, but we forget that great gift and tuhfa of Mi'raj, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went and brought from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the other ahkam and all the other orders of Allah ta'ala were issued on earth. As the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought the hukam of hajj, zakat, fasting, the prohibition of wine and so many other things, all those ahkam came on this earth. But Allah Ta'ala invited Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam above the seven heavens, brought him to his presence, as you heard in the talk on Mi'raj, and then he gave him this great gift of salat. And this salat was not just a prayer as a duty which we perform. It was a gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to the believers, regarding which Allah Ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, Ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with patient perseverance and with salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the slightest calamity, the slightest disturbance, even if the wind blew a little fast, if the weather changed and it became cloudy, it became dark, if there was a stormy night, anything of that nature, the first thing he did was hasten towards salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes long, long sajdas. Masoom and sinless Nabi, but such lengthy sajdas. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, once she was asked to describe the salat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, she says that, what must I tell you about the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? That when he stood in salat, he stood so long that I thought he's not going to make ruku in. When he went into ruku, he remained in ruku so long that I thought he's not going to get up from ruku. And when he went in sajda, he remained so long in sajda that sometimes I thought that he passed away. But of course, that is individual salat. For the imam, he must see the occasion, he must see the time, he must see the muqtadis. Sometimes when it's a big gathering, then at that time the imam sahab mustn't start Surah Baqarah. The imam has to be very considerate. Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. The person who makes imamat, he must make it light. Because in the congregation they are sick, they are weak, they are old, they are feeble. So that is a different thing. But individually, this is what he used to do. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to hasten towards salat. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that bain al iman wal kuf tarkus salat. The dividing line between iman and kufr is the giving up of one salat. Now imagine Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi, he is saying that that is the dividing line. In other words, if you don't make your salat, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that is committing kufr. And I have mentioned in many bayans of mine that Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, who is the follower of the Hanbali mazhab, then he takes this literally and he says that definitely, most certainly, that person has committed kufr if he gives up just one salat without any valid reason, without any legitimate excuse. If he misses one salat, then he has committed kufr. He says, don't make the janaza namaz of that person, don't bury him in the Muslim qabristan, and don't even make dua-i maghfirat for him. Who is saying that? Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, look it up in the Ghuniyatul Talibin. And he says, just one salat, if that person does that, then that is the punishment. We must be grateful to Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi and others who said that no, we don't take the literal meaning. It means that the person is committing an act which the kuffar commit, that they don't make salat. So if you have to look at the hadiths of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, read Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Fazail Namaz. See how much of virtues there are for the performance of salat. And at the same time, the warnings that are given for those people who are negligent of their salat. And so these people will say that lam nakum minal musallin, those who are going to go to the fire of hell, when they will be questioned, what took you there? They said, we shouldn't make our salat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, says that the person who misses his first salat, then Allah ta'ala is not under any obligation towards him. That means Allah ta'ala does not take any responsibility of this person anymore. As far as sustenance is concerned, that Allah ta'ala gives to the believers, disbelievers. This world is a world in which we make use of the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean, the wind and everything. That is for everybody. But on the day of Qiyamah, then there will be a separation of the believers and the disbelievers. But even in this world, those people who are negligent of their salat, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he removes his obligation from such people. That means after that he doesn't care what happens to them. We can keep crying that we are suffering so many kinds of problems, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah ta'ala after that doesn't care when the ummah itself is not concerned about its salat, which is the pillar of Islam, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is like the head in the human body. The position of salat is like the head in the human body. Position of salat in Iman and Islam. So there is no body without a head, or there is no life without a person, or in a person who doesn't have a head. So in the same way, this person who says I'm a Muslim, but if he hasn't got salat in his life, then it is as if he is lifeless. His Iman is dead. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned tremendously, and also he gave plenty of glad tidings. He gave plenty of glad tidings. Allah Ta'ala makes the sustenance easy for those people who are regular with the salat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blesses them with a death which will be easy. Allah Ta'ala will remove the azab of qabr. He will give them the book of deeds in the right hands. Enter them into Jannat without reckoning. Provided the person makes the salat in the manner that it should be made. We are not talking about our kind of salat. Many times I have said that it does not mean that now we mustn't make even this salat. Because if there are bugs in a blanket, then you remove those bugs. You don't throw the blanket away. In the same way, if our namaz is bugged by our television programs that we just watch and come, and Allahu Akbar after that, and all the film actors and actresses come before us in salat, and even in our rukus and even in our sajdas. And I'm not telling you stories and fairy tale. Young people, alhamdulillah, they are trying to reform, they are trying to change. But those who are addicted to certain kinds of movies and films, and those who are madly in love with certain film stars and film actresses. So they write and they ask, they say, well, now what must we do now? Still we cannot seem to erase those pictures that come before us when we are in salat. In our ruku and in our sajda, those porn magazines and those filthy films that we saw, sometimes those filthy scenes come before us right when our heads are in sajda. What do we do? So I'm not talking about those kind of salat. But alhamdulillah, those people who are making an effort, inshallah, if they follow those prescriptions which are given to them, they sooner or later they do come out of it. We are talking about that salat wherein the person prepares for that salat mentally. He conditions himself before he goes into sajda, before he goes into salat. So there's so much of promises on those kind of salats. Promises of the solutions for this world and the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala will then put victory in his tadbir. The means that he will adopt because of the barakat of that salat that he will make, that namaz that he will make with sincerity, with yaqeen and with trust and with confidence and with tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and with the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatness and the glory of Allah ta'ala before him, and he tries to keep his mind clear of all other outside thoughts and influences. And accidentally if he comes, then he doesn't even worry about it. He ignores them completely. He doesn't start fighting with those thoughts in his salat. Because if he's going to make Allahu Akbar and shaitan starts whispering and now he starts fighting those thoughts, then the Imam Sahib will make Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah and he will be still fighting with those thoughts. So as soon as he realizes that he's going out somewhere, so he brings his mind back into the salat. So if he's going to make his salat like that, then there are great promises on that salat. Then Allah will put success into those means that we are adopting. We are not saying don't adopt those means. The person will still go to his practice. The person will go to his business. The person will go to his farm. The person will go to his teaching profession or whatever he's doing. But now Allah Ta'ala will put barakat in there. Allah Ta'ala will inspire him that what is the right course of action. The person will find solution to his problems with that kind of salat that he's going to make. And on the other hand, if he's not going to make, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-Jafa, kullul jafa. That's an injustice. And then he says, Al-Kufr, wa nifaq. That is kufr and it is hypocrisy. Now who is saying? I'm not saying it. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it is kufr. It is injustice of the extreme kind. It is nifaq and hypocrisy that the person hears the azan, hears the caller calling towards salat, and he does not respond to that call. He carries on with his football match, with his cricket match, with his television program. He carries on with his worldly activities, and he believes that I am being sustained by all these professions of mine. He does not have the courage to at that time give up or put a stop wherever he is and say, now I must respond to the call. What is the response to the call is not just to say in reply to the muazzin when he is saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, then we reply to him, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Or when he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That's one kind of response. But the true and real response is that then we go and perform the salat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that is injustice, it is kufr, it is nifaq, it is hypocrisy. That the person hears the caller calling them for the salat and he does not respond. And that's when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then removes that responsibility from them. That obligation to protect the believers, that obligation that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taken upon himself, he removes that obligation. After that, that ummah will go crashing and they will go destroying themselves in different valleys and jungles and paths, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is unconcerned now what happens to them. It is just with the barakat of those few people who are pious, who are righteous, who are Allah walas, and whose tears that which they shed for us in the tahajjud salat or after the in their duas throughout the world, those who are connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is with the barakat of their duas and their tears that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps us sustaining. So the first thing they say is that they will say that the thing that led us to this fire of Jahannam is that we shouldn't make our salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Bashiril mashaeen afiz zulume ilal masajide bin nuri tamme yawmil qiyamah. Give glad tidings to those who walk towards the masajid in the darkness of the nights, that they will have full light on the day of qiyamah. Full light and full nur on the day of qiyamah, because they used to walk in the darkness. Now walk in the darkness does not mean that in darkness the person must take risk of his life and walk. What it means here is that the salats which are in dark hours, Isha salat, Fajr salat, now at this part of the night when the person is going towards the masjid in Isha salat time, Fajr salat time, so whether he's going with his car or whether he's going walking or whether he's riding a bicycle and going, whatever it may be, but they must give them the glad tidings that they will have full nur on the day of Qiyamah. Now what is the condition of our Fajr Salat? I was in one town just not long ago where when the Ijtima took place, there were at least about 25,000 people there. And one would have thought that Islam has become alive now. And for the Fajr Salat, there were 8 people there. In one masjid, in the summer month in Cape Town, when I went there, it was just the muazzin, the imam sahab, and myself, and my host, and massive masjid. When those kind of masjids are bombed, when those kind of masjids are attacked, then at that time the whole world says they are bombing our masjid, they are bombing our masjid. But we have to check our lives, that where are we going wrong? Is it just too much of zahir, too much of outward, too much of pretense that we have become dindar? And when occasions come, if there's a zikr program, if there's some talim program, if there's some majlis, then we come in large numbers. or if there's some other occasion of that nature. And after that, when it comes to our lives, then no salat there, no zakat there, no ibadat there, no deen there, no truthfulness there, no honesty, no sincerity, no charity, nothing. So he says, Ma salakakum fi saqar, what is it that took you to the hellfire? They say, Lam nakum min al-musallin. And then they say, Walam nakum nut'imul miskeen. And we never used to feed those who were the poor, the indigent, the poverty stricken, the destitute. We filled our bellies, but we were unconcerned about them. Wa kunna nakhudu ma'al kha'idin. And then, with those who used to talk vanities, we used to also talk vain and useless things. In fact, not only that, what it really means is that we used to also join those people who used to criticize Islam, Islamic teachings, talk silly things about Akhirat, about Jannat, about Jahannam, reject those teachings of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which have been properly documented and which has been conveyed to us with proper chain of narrators. But just because it doesn't suit our nafs, doesn't taste, doesn't suit our lifestyles, so we used to also join those people who used to make a mockery of the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who used to make a mockery of those teachings of the Quran and the sunnah. So he said that was another characteristic of ours. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we used to reject the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment, we took it as a big joke. Now they used to reject it in the true sense of the word, but our actions and our deeds, we have to take a stock and see, are we not also rejecting by our actions that all these stories which are being told to us, all these hadiths and Quranic verses and everything that is being mentioned, it may be true. But as far as the Day of Judgment is concerned, who saw the Day of Judgment? Na'uzubillah. So each one of these items I want to discuss in a little detail. But the first thing itself hasn't been covered, and that is Salat. That let us take Salat seriously in our lives. We will not benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way if we are going to make our Salat. Allah Ta'ala is making tremendous amount of promises upon our salat. So let us improve the quality of the salat. Those who are making salat, then improve the quality of that salat. Because what is the sense of going on lifelong making a kind of salat in which the rukus and sajdas are such that even shaitan feels ashamed? If we are going to make the salat properly, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will accept that salat. And there are so many promises. And if we are going to not make it properly, then it will be thrown back at us like a dirty rag. If it is made properly, then the salat will make dua that, Ya Allah, you look after this person just as he's looked after me. And if you are not going to make it properly, then it will curse that, Oh Allah, you also destroy this person just as he destroyed me. Some of us who are going in ruku, before we can even say one time Subhana Rabbi al-Azim properly, we are up. And sometimes when we go into sajda, before we can even say once Subhana Rabbi al-A'la properly, we are up. Or when we get up from ruku, before we have even stood properly and calmly and steadily, straight away we are gone into ruku, into sajda. Or the recitation is with such haste, or that salat, the mind is everywhere else except in salat. So let us improve that quality of that salat and then see what it brings. It brings a tremendous amount of sukoon in the heart. It brings noor into the heart. It is the mi'raj of the believers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mi'raj was above the seven heavens, and the believer's mi'raj is when his head is in sajda. That's his mi'raj. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal. And I diverted a little from the talks that were given in the past, over the past few weeks, where we discussed quite a bit about the coalition, about the alliance, and about all the things that's happening. Now we know that for the past 26 days with all their bombing, and over the past one or two days, every hour they say they've been throwing so many bombs, so many bombs. So what is our duty? That make a lot of dua for them, for the Mujahideen of Islam, for those who are defending the borders of Islam, and those who are protecting the deen and iman, and the respect and the dignity and the honor of the Muslims, those who haven't bartered away their deen and iman for those miserable dollars and for those bribes which were thrown at them and dangled like carrots before them. Those who have got yaqeen and trust and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, that Mullah Umar, he said, the Amirul Mu'mineen, when they were trying to convince him to hand over Osama bin Laden, then he said, where is the evidence? How can I just give him up? He says, I do not consider America to be the second Allah. Main America ko khudae sani manne ke liye tayyar nahi hoon. And he said, I have seen the Musabbibul Asbab very closely. That Allah, who is the creator of means, I have seen him very closely. How he created the means for our victory in the, against the Russians and others. And then the third thing that he said, which is very, very important, he says, I'm not fighting for land, I'm not fighting for territory, I'm not even fighting for victory. He says, I'm fighting for the raza and the pleasure of my Allah. If Allah wills and he gives me success, then I'm happy with that. And if Allah does not will, then outward defeat also, I will accept that. But I'm not willing to sell my iman for the sake of those miserable dollars and promises of the American government and the coalition. So we make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect them, protect Masjid-e-Aqsa from the mischievous intentions of the enemies, from the Yahud, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect the entire ummah from all the makare and the fitan and the mischief and the corruption which is lashing at the ummah from all sides. And the most important thing, Allah protect us, our iman, our families' iman, and give us the himmat and the courage of lions against our nafs and shaitan. We'll have to come out of the slavery of nafs and shaitan if we want to really get close to Allah and get into our hearts that peace, that sukoon, that tranquility, that happiness, that joy, that satisfaction and that contentment that Allah Ta'ala gives to the awliya-i-kiram. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.